You're listening to Exposure on 88.9 The Impact. Phone lines are open at 432-3893. And now, back to Exposure.
You are tuned to the Michigan Storytelling segment here on Impact Exposure.
In Michigan, and I'm here to share with you an excerpt from my novel, Driving Crazy. It's the humorous adventure about two lifelong friends who travel across the country from Lansing to Weed Patch, California, to pick up an arcade game called Crazy Climber. By the time they reach California, they've managed to lose all their money, so they stumble upon a rather unique way to finance their return trip. My novel is available at all sorts of locations. I have actually 14 locations in and around the Lansing area, including the Collegeville Textbook Company on East Grand River in East Lansing, Curious Books, also on Grand River in East Lansing, and both area Schuler's. You can also check out more information on the novel, including more excerpts, deleted scenes, and reviews on my website, www.randypearson.org, and that's P-E-A-R-S-O-N. Thank you. Feeling like I had karma on my side, we pulled into the parking lot of the Mega Shop supermarket. Then I saw the size of the building. As we stood at one of the many entrances, looking up at the massive structure, Austin said casually, "Kinda reminds me of Meijer." "No, it's not that big. More like a Kroger. Or maybe that L&L on Logan Street. Still, it's big." "Uh-huh, bigger than I had hoped." We entered the establishment, automatic doors welcoming us inside. "So, Jay, what's the plan here?" "Plan? Well, I suppose a plan would have been a good idea." "I guess we shop for a while." I gestured to my right. "You go down that aisle, and I'll head to the other end of the store. We'll meet up in the middle." Yeah, great plan, genius, except for one small flaw." "What's that?" "I never saw her. She had a moose before I ever laid eyes on her, remember?" "Crap." "Oh, yeah. Well, if you see a cute young chick this tall," I raised my hand just under my nose, "with long auburn hair, come get me." Austin furrowed his brow. "Auburn?" "Oh, right. Like most men, he could only see in primary colors. Just look for brown hair." Shaking his head slowly, Austin replied, "Oh, sure, this'll go well." Pacing up one aisle and down the next, I scanned the crowd laboriously for quite some time. Once I'd wandered through my whole section with no results, I opted instead to pick a location and hover. Perusing the fresh fruits and vegetables section, I feigned fascination in their selection of cucumbers, strawberries, and broccoli. I'd pick up an item and do all sorts of freshness quality testing, or at least what I'd hope would be construed as such. For any given item, I'd smell, thump, or shake it, only to return it to, or in the original vicinity of, its original location. Though I did garner some peculiar glances while shaking broccoli near my ear and smelling sealed bags of salad, I think I managed to fool the majority of the shoppers. I repeated these tasks for about an hour before attracting the attention of the produce manager, an overweight man with an enormous nose and puffy pink cheeks. Though I knew someone was hovering near me, I didn't actually take notice until his nose's elongated shadow fell over the oranges I simulated interest in. I spun around, orange in hand, as he said, "Can I help you with anything, sir?" I looked the man up and down before responding. "No, thanks. Just checking the freshness of these oranges. I've got it covered. Thanks, though." I dismissed him with a backhanded wave, then tapped the orange with my knuckle and held it to my ear like a seashell. My quality testing caused his brow to furrow. "You don't thump oranges, sir. That's for melons." "Yeah, well, this is how they do it in Australia. You telling me the Aussies are wrong here?" "If what you say is true, then yes. Thumping an orange won't tell you if it's fresh." Though this amused me, I made a point of displaying a curmudgeonly countenance. "Okay, then, why don't you inform me, old guru of groceries, how I'm supposed to tell if this orange is any good?" Snatching it from my grasp, he held it equidistant between us. "You look at it, for one. There's no bruising except where you've been hitting it. Otherwise, it's uniform in color. Also," he added while holding it under his nose, "if it smells nice and juicy, it is a good orange." I seized it back from him, resting it under my own nose. "Well, I clearly don't have your formidable tools, but I'll give it a go." The man's eyes narrowed enough to confirm he got my huge honker joke. "I don't know, man. Smells bruised to me." "It doesn't smell bruised. What does that even mean?" "It means I'm not buying it." Putting it back on the pile, I picked up another one, put it next to my ear, and began shaking it. "Now this one, yes, this one sounds ripe." Clearly becoming agitated, the manager spouted, "Sounds ripe? What are you talking about? You don't shake oranges either." I shook my head in mock disgust. "Oh, you poor uneducated man. How did you ever get this job?" Just as his face flushed an unhealthy shade of crimson, a loud crash emanated from a few aisles away. Off in the distance, I could clearly detect Austin's voice, then a woman shouting an obscenity-laced tirade in a shrill, piercing tone. I flipped the orange into the air, causing old Big Nose to lunge at it in a panic. "Well, this has been enlightening for you, but I gotta go." Without awaiting a response, I dashed away from the agitated produce manager. When I arrived at the commotion, I found Austin sprawled on the tile floor, yelling up at a short, obese ogre of a woman. I quickly yanked him to his feet. "What's going on here, buddy? This isn't the woman, you know." Oh, the glare he gave me could have melted ice, or steel for that matter. "Good Lord, I hope not. I'd have to stop being your friend." "No, this troll slammed into me, and now she's screaming at me as if it's my fault." She jabbed her meaty index finger at him. "You ran into me, you idiot. You came sprinting around the corner and plowed right into me. Good thing I'm sturdy, otherwise you'd have knocked me over." Oh, sturdy is not the word I'd use. I'd say you're more. Raising my hand and putting it directly in front of my friend's face, I quickly cut him off. No good could possibly come from the end of that sentence. "Dude, shush. Ma'am, sorry for the trouble. Are you okay?" Looking into her cart, I couldn't help but add, "Did he damage your lifetime supply of ding-dongs?" Her eyes threw daggers at me for a moment, but instead of replying, she pulled her cart away and began pushing it in the opposite direction. "You're just lucky I'm a lady." "I'd say the lady you devoured wasn't so lucky," Austin retorted, "you fat ol'." In a surprisingly quick motion, the woman spun around and hit Austin in the head with her massive purse. The blow propelled him into me, clunking our heads together in a Three Stooges kind of maneuver. While we bounced off the shelf and tumbled to the ground, she snorted and resumed shoving her cart away. A sizable crowd had formed, and several of them chuckled at her embarrassing scene. Austin touched the side of his head, and once he was convinced he hadn't sustained any external injury, said loudly, "Okay, folks, nothing to see here. Move along." I added, "The next show's at 3. Tip your waitress." Then I rubbed the side of my head. "Ow, man, what was that all about? Dude, I think I found your little thief when I plowed into that heifer. She might be still here if we hurry. Come on." He pulled himself to his feet, helped me up, and we both dashed down the bread aisle. "Okay, I saw her here with a cart. I think she was headed that way." He pointed in the opposite direction. We sprinted through several aisles until we came upon a short, auburn-haired woman with her back to us, checking out a can of Campbell's Chunky Chicken Corn Chowder Soup. Dashing up to her, I dropped my hand heavily on her shoulder. "Aha! I caught you!" Some woman I had never seen before turned around and whacked me in the shoulder with a can of soup. After dropping the now-dented can, she released a blood-curdling scream. My buddy and I bolted away from her at lightning speed. It didn't take long after that incident before the management caught up to us and politely informed us we were hereby banned from all Mega Shop grocery stores in the future. While they escorted us from the premises, I felt the need to have the last word. "Yeah, well, I'd never shop here again anyway. Your oranges are too bruisey. And don't get me started on the state of your broccoli."
And for the Michigan Storytelling segment, that was Lansing author Randy Pearson reading from his novel, Driving Crazy.